Parsons.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and once again it is my pleasure, as the minute waltz fades away, to welcome our many listeners throughout the world, and also the four dynamic, diverse, and daring players of the game who are going to compete this week. We welcome back three long-time players of the game, that is Paul Merton, Peter Jones and Clement Freud, and someone who's not played it quite so often, that is Stephen Fry. Would you please welcome all four of them? And, as usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from that subject. Beside me sits Jane Gibson, who's going to help me keep the score, and she'll blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the radio theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House, not very far from the center of the great metropolis of London. So let's start the show today with Stephen Fry, and who better? Stephen, the novel Inside Me. Talk on the subject, if you can, starting now.
Well, the novel Inside Me, oddly enough, is David Copperfield by Charles Dickens, which I ate by mistake only yesterday. I erred in thinking it was too...
And you've been challenged already by Clement Freud.
For erring. He hesitated.
I don't think you hesitated.
I thought you said I erred.
And that is a hesitation.
What?
Oh, sorry.
Yes. What was it that you heard?
What a clever idea, Clement Freud. A brilliant challenge. But he erred, but he didn't actually say err. Actually, I consider it an incorrect challenge, so, Stephen, you have a point for an incorrect challenge. Stephen, I wish you to go on this subject because you still have 51 seconds available. The novel Inside Me, starting now.
The novel Inside Me was written by Dame Sesame Halver in 1942. Inside Me was the title she used because it was actually a kind of survey of the life that goes on within the human body of an aging female novelist. It's not a good read.
A poor challenge.
Novelist?
It's like saying Montgomery and Cumberland.
Paul, you have a correct challenge. A point for that, of course. 37 seconds are available. The novel Inside Me, starting now.
It was once said by somebody, Julian Critchley, I think, that everybody has at least one good novel in them, apart from Geoffrey Archer. And he was referring, of course, to the fact that the esteemed gentleman has written many books.
Stephen...
Name one person who esteems Geoffrey Archer.
Geoffrey Archer.
You've done it.
Paul, another point to you with the 23 seconds, the novel Inside Me, starting now.
I'm going to write the great novel one day when I'm old enough.
Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition of great.
Yes, you did mention the word great before, Paul. So that is repetition. Why are you so surprised?
Because I think they, like me, know that it was actually the word good he said before. One person has at least one good novel inside them.
I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to you, Paul, and say you still have the subject. 19 seconds available. The novel Inside Me, starting now.
I'll have to be a wonderful age before I put pen to paper. I would have had to experience life to the full before I would even dare to submit...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition. Before.
Before. That was definitely a repetition. Right.
I said before.
Clement, you at last got in. 10 seconds are available. The novel Inside Me, starting now.
I've just come back from a Greek island where I spent 3 weeks finishing my novel. I'm a very slow reader.
No, Stephen challenged just before the whistle.
He's a very slow talker as well.
Yes. Well, actually, he was waiting for the laugh, which didn't exactly come. Half a second on the subject of the novel Inside Me, starting now.
The novel Inside Me is...
Whoever is speaking as the whistle goes gains an extra point, and on this occasion it was Stephen Fry, so he has taken a strong lead at the end of that round. Peter, will you take the next round? The subject is wearing my other hat. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Well, my other hat is a Norfolk tweed,
a hat with a very round crown, and it's a lovely-looking hat. And when I put it on, I feel the need to stride across the downs or the broads or wherever I am. Well, not in the water, of course. And I like to feel the wind blowing through. There's a little hole. And the wind, you know, it dries one's hair and everything, and it's a terrific headpiece. And I look forward to wearing it very soon. Again.
Paul, that new challenge.
Yeah, well, a natural conclusion.
Paul, you had a correct challenge. You have 13 seconds on wearing my other hat, starting now.
I would be wearing my other hat, but I recently lent it to Peter Jones. And when I phoned him up and asked for it back, he said, I'm awfully sorry, there's a hole right in the middle of it. In fact, it had been ruined by him. This is the last time that I lend such an item to this particular...
Paul Merton speaking as the whistle-wing gained that extra point, and he's gone into the lead now ahead of Stephen Fry. But, Clement, it's your turn to begin. The subject is loudspeakers. Will you tell us something about loudspeakers in just a minute, starting now?
I think the loudest speaker that I ever came across in my political life was Ian Paisley.
Mr. Speaker, sir, the Secretary of State for Northern Ireland is a liar.
At which the person in the chair would say, order and repeat that word, which I can't do, because basically what happens in...
Paul, you challenge first. Hesitation. 37 seconds available. Loudspeakers starting now.
Loudspeakers, of course, an integral part of any hi-fi system. I have a particularly fine pair of loudspeakers at home. I've got very interested in music over the last few years because a very good musical...
Stephen, you got in first then, yes. We call that hesitation. 24 seconds, loudspeakers with you starting now.
Are very annoying indeed and can bend the needle of a...
Paul Merton challenge.
Pardon?
Paul, we'll give you a bonus point because we enjoyed the interruption, but it wasn't a challenge within the rules of just a minute. So, Stephen, for being interrupted, you get another point. You have 20 seconds available still. Loudspeakers starting now.
Hardly know enough on the subject to discourse with such a length, but nonetheless, Leek is a make of loudspeaker, as is Beer Vision or Beer... Oh, dear.
Clement, your challenge.
British.
Yes, right. Do you want to say what it was?
No.
Oh, right. 13 seconds, loudspeakers with you, Clement, starting now.
It's very odd that Arthur Scargill, Derek Hatton, the more left-wing the person is, the more loudly does he...
Paul, you challenge.
Two mores.
Two mores, there were indeed. 5 seconds are still available on loudspeakers. It's with you, Paul, starting now.
I want to make this point very clear to everybody here today. I want to say to you that undoubtedly...
Paul Merton got points in the round as well as one for speaking as the whistle went, and he's gone into the lead alongside Stephen Fry. And Stephen Fry, it's your turn to begin. The subject is lottery. Tell us something about the lottery starting now.
Oh, lottery, lottery. I've never bought a lottery ticket. I suppose I should have done. But,
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition.
A what?
Lottery.
I know. It was repeated. Peter, I know you've only been playing the game for 34 years. But you are actually allowed to repeat the subject which is on the card.
Because I am improving. You
I know. So, I've got to give you a bonus point because you interrupted and came out with a delightful remark.
Yes.
A bonus point for that. That is the first one you got today, actually. But, but your contribution is invaluable. Keep it up. Well done. Lottery is on the card. And 56 seconds with you, Stephen. Lottery starting now.
I think it was Cecil Rhodes who said to have been born English is to have drawn first prize in the lottery of life. Many people would disagree, particularly the Scots, Welsh and Irish, no doubt. However, as I was saying earlier, I've never actually bought a lottery voucher or token or other word that I can't repeat. If I were to do so, no doubt, I might then put myself in the frame for winning a fair old slice of cash because huge amounts of money are offered as prizes for those who do go to a shop and in exchange for simoleons, purchased such a...
I'm lost here.
I know.
In exchange for simoleons.
Simoleons, yes.
What's that money? It's an unusual word for money, I grant you. I said most of the others, or at least couldn't think of any more. Missoula, I should have said, probably.
Missoula, yeah. I don't think simoleons is sufficiently... especially if we're going to get letters from India.
Yeah,
and
we
China,
should cater for the general ignorance of the British. The way the BBC's going, isn't it? Let's just assume everybody's stupid and just have words of two syllables and no more, because the great British public are all idiots, aren't they? They're all idiots, apparently.
Fry, do contain yourself, please.
Sorry, I just get very angry at this. It's dying down, it's just relentless and remorseless, and now it's with this great intellectual showcase.
So, Paul, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt and say you've got 26 seconds. Tell us something about lottery starting now.
Like Stephen, I've never actually bought a lottery ticket. The thing doesn't appeal to me, but...
The Clement Freud challenge.
Hesitation?
Yes, hesitation, Clement. 21 seconds, lottery with you starting now.
I think to...
Paul...
Hesitation,
Paul, yes, it was, yes. 18 seconds, lottery starting now.
I remember being in this opium den just outside Walthamstow when I realised that the man at my elbow was going to throw the dice onto the floor. I thought, is he going to put all his money on this last throw? Is he...
Clement, what's your challenge, Clement?
True.
Clement, you have a correct challenge. 4 seconds, lottery starting now.
It's not any money that you get for winning. There are lotteries where Anne Widdicombe...
So Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle went, and it's Peter Jones' turn to begin. Peter, the subject I have here is timetables. Will you tell us something about them in just a minute, starting now?
They can be very interesting reading and quite stimulating if you're lying in the garden in a long chair and you have a drink in one hand and a timetable in the other. You can work out journeys, particularly if you're at the seaside, and you can plan how to get home quite soon, and you have to change crew usually.
Peter, sorry to interrupt you,
Paul
Merton has challenged you.
Oh, I didn't hear him.
I thought there was a very slight hesitation.
No.
I may be wrong.
There was. Did you bring all the audience in, Peter? Some of them. They're certainly on your side. The audience would like to hear from Peter more on
timetables. That's fine. I was probably completely wrong.
That you've got the benefit of the doubt on that one, Peter, and you keep timetables, having an incorrect challenge, of course, a point for that, and 36 seconds starting now.
Yeah, I can change the venue to a ship on the sea. You're on a cruise, and you can work out what time the vessel will arrive in New York or Jamaica or somewhere else, if you like. But you are usually wrong, because... the shipping companies don't adhere to any particular timetable or time. That's not the same word, is it?
And, I challenge yourself, Peter. And you've done exactly that, Peter. What's your challenge? Hesitation?
Yes.
Yes, I thought so. You did err a bit in there. So that's a correct challenge, Peter. Well listened. And you got in very cleverly, Peter, with a correct challenge, a point for that, of course, with 3 seconds to go on the subject.
So a bonus point for his challenge.
Almost, yes. But gird your loins for another 3 seconds and go on the subject of timetables starting now.
And it stops at crew from 2 to 2:02.
You could have challenged yourself again for crew, because you said that before, you repeated it.
Yes, I did.
You slipped up there, you missed out on that one.
Yes, but anyway. I thought they'd changed the name somehow.
Right, anyway, but you've done very, you got a lot of points in that round, and the one was speaking as the whistle went. You're still in fourth place, but a very strong fourth place. And who begins the next round? It is Paul Merton. Ah, the green-eyed monster. tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
When I was growing up, I was convinced there was a green-eyed monster in my bedroom who would wander around the bed once I was asleep. I think he lived in the wardrobe, and I would open the door and try to see if he was hiding in the darker recesses of that particular piece of furniture, but could never quite catch him. I became certain that he was following me around during the day, always 5 steps behind me. I would turn and he would disappear. How do I know that this monster had green eyes? Because all monsters have green eyes. That is where they come from, the land of the green-eyed monster. You can be walking through the dark streets of London.
Stephen Fry, you're challenged.
Pardon me. Just absolutely scared out of my wits. He did appear dark.
What was that?
Dark came twice.
It did come twice, yes. What a pity. I was really enthralled there.
No, I'm sorry.
Were you really?
I really was. I was fascinated. I must... you should tell these bedtime stories. Some of the children find on their
lives. Well, if I ever see you round about bedtime, I will, Nick.
It's very likely, very unlikely to happen again.
I don't know what Paul and I do at bedtime. Right. 16 seconds. Repetition there, Stephen. And it's the green-eyed monster with you. 16 seconds starting now.
Described as jealousy, of course, in Shakespeare's Othello, that feeds upon itself and mocks the meat that feeds it, or something similar to that. I can't quite remember the quotation, of course, but never mind. That's not in itself an offence, I hope. It's an awful thing, jealousy.
Paul challenged.
He couldn't remember the quotation, and that's an offence.
Well, he was deviating from the green-eyed monster and going on to not remembering quotations.
That's so right.
I would call that deviation.
That could have been me saying that, Nicholas.
What's that? I didn't hear... Somebody's
oh, by the way, you left your cocoa under the bed last night.
I'm sure you drank it, Paul.
No, I didn't. It had your teeth in it.
Where were we? There's 4 seconds available. It's the green-eyed monster, and it's with you, Paul, starting now.
Many years ago, I remember a particular incident when I was walking through a fun fair.
Well, Paul Martin speaking as a little way and getting that extra point. He's still just in the lead ahead of Stephen Fry. And Stephen, it's your turn to begin. I think it's your turn. Let me check on this. Yes, it is. Oh, the subject, house mats. I don't know what Ian Mester's mind is thinking of here, but no, it isn't. I've misread it.
It's actually Copenhagen.
Yes. Stephen, your turn to begin. The subject is mouse mats.
You sure it's not mouse hats?
No. It's mouse mats. Very and... It's a subject which obviously got a huge response from the audience because they roared with laughter. But would you take the subject and talk on it for 60 seconds if you can, starting now?
Well, of course, the term really derives from the Palo Alto Research Center in California, where the WIMPS environment was devised. Windows, icons, mice, and pull-down menus for computers. The mouse is a pointing device used for the GUI, or graphic user interface, of the common personal ordinateur, as the French like to call these digital devices. The mouse mat itself can come nowadays in all kinds of beautifully illustrated forms and shapes. I have one, for example, which has a scene from Judy Garland's wonderful film, The Wizard of Oz. Other people who are slightly less camp might have, perhaps, Arnold Schwarzenegger, people like that. You can have any number of scenes, any number of...
Paul challenge. Lordy
bless. There was a repetition of people.
People, yes. It is difficult to hear because, for the first time, I must tell our audience, and I must explain to our listeners, normally they put their desks quite close so we can all hear. For some reason, they put them right at the further side of the stage, so it's difficult for them to hear.
This is going to make great radio.
I know. I realised after I'd started I was digging myself a hole that I was never going to get out of. But
and you left your hearing aid next to the mug of cocoa, unfortunately.
Right, Paul, you have a correct challenge, a repetition
of people. You couldn't see too well when you were reading Mouse and House.
Is there a sensory organ left, Nicholas?
Well, is there?
Do you know where you are? Indeed I do.
I had a theatrical landlady once who was 92.
Yeah.
And I said, my word, you're operating terribly well. She said, well, thank goodness I still have all my marbles up here, you know, and nothing really escapes me. I said, is that a fact? She said, oh, yes. Touch wood. Come in.
Peter Jones, you can come in whenever you want to. And we give you a bonus point for that. And anybody want to top it, they get another bonus point. But it isn't. It was a repetition of people, and it's 25 seconds for you, Paul, on House Mouse. I did it again. Mouse Max, starting now.
I have several mice at home, and I look after them very well. They tend to leave the house round about 11:30 in the evening and come back about 11:30.
I could have said any other time.
That's the way the mind goes on occasions. Stephen, you got in first on mouse mats and 14 seconds available starting now.
The idea being, of course, that you simply drag your mouse across the surface of the mat and it's this kind of fluency and fluidity to the motion which allows the pointing device aforementioned to register clearly on the screen. However, some mouse mats...
Clement Foy, challenge.
We've had a screen.
You had a screen
before.
Oh, did
you? Before. I'm sorry. I
do don't apologise.
No, I should
all
be sorry
part of the game.
It's not right. I should play it properly. I shouldn't repeat words. And if I do, I should apologise and say I'm sorry like a man.
If you apologise...
As close to it as I can get.
Clement, yes, a correct challenge, and you've got him very cleverly with 1 second to go. That audience you had in the palm of your hand, you've suddenly lost it. But you have 1 second on mouse mat starting now.
If you can train a mouse to use a mat.
We've got an interesting situation points-wise, because Clement got another point there. And they're very, very close. Only 1 point separates our three leaders, Clement Foy, Paul Merton and Stephen Fry, in that order. Peter Jones is just behind them. Paul, it's your turn to begin. And the subject, I'm going to get this one right, it's housekeeping.
You sure it's not mousekeeping?
No, it's not mousekeeping.
It's not mousekeeping?
No. And we'll have to say, in my defence, that the subjects have not been typed onto the cards in front of me.
You've been reading handwriting?
Handwriting, yes. Oh, I've been reading
handwriting. My respect for you has gone through the roof.
I know. Housekeeping, Paul. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I believe it was one of the Gabor sisters, Jar Ditto, who said, I am a wonderful housekeeper. Whenever I get divorced, I keep the house. This was a joke of hers, and of course, that's not exactly what we mean by the term of housekeeper. There are, particularly in this day and age...
Stephen Fry.
Does that count as a hesitation? I don't know.
Yes, it would. Let's hear from you on housekeeping, Stephen, starting... Oh, and the number of seconds, 39, starting now.
Mrs. Danvers, one of the great housekeepers, I think, from Daphne du Maurier's novel, Rebecca. A châtelaine is a rather nice French word for a housekeeper. You picture the keys, don't you, on the apron. This proud woman haunting the corridors of the great house with marvellous sort of aprons and things like that. And I also picture sometimes great sort of linen presses, don't you? And I think
Clement Foy, challenge.
Repetition of great.
Yes, there are too many greats.
It's just feeble, isn't it? I'm so sorry.
Clement, 20 seconds. Tell us something about housekeeping, starting now.
Housekeeping is a word you very often find on telephones in hotels. There is waiting room service.
Stephen Fry, challenge.
A bit of a hesitation there.
Stephen, you got it back. 12
sorry
seconds.
About that.
Housekeeping starting now.
It's like stopped.
Peter, you challenged.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Nurse, he's out of bed again.
Would you like Peter to just finish
this? Well, I was challenging on Peter's behalf.
You were? Oh, right. You were challenging on Peter's behalf. They're all three equal, and they'd like to hear from you on housekeeping, Peter, with 11 seconds to go, starting now.
It's a very important thing to learn, because if you don't, things get rather sticky and unpleasant. And if you read the Sunday supplements, you realise...
Peter Jones speaking as a whistle when gain the next appointee. He has leapt forward, but he is still training a little the other three. They are equal now in the lead, and this is going to be the last round because we have no more time. But Clement Foy, it's your turn to begin. The subject is counting sheep. Tell us something about that as we go into the last round. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Counting sheep is something people do in order to induce sleep. And depending on who they are, They count sheep in different ways. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 would be a method. But I, as a gastronome and cook, tend to count sheep by the constituent parts thereof. Right, left, high, low, buttock, rump, eye, genitalia.
Poor Merton Challenge.
Well, this is deviation, surely. You go to sleep by counting sheep's buttocks, surely.
Well, I suppose you can go to sleep. It may not, wouldn't put you to sleep, wouldn't put me to sleep, but I mean...
Well, I know that, Nicholas. Who better, indeed. If I don't, who does?
Oh, we're back to the cocoa again. Right, no, I mean, just to be fair to Clement, I suppose you can use any method you like if it does induce sleep, and that's, according to him, is what induces sleep in him. So I think I have to give him the benefit of the doubt, Paul, and say he has 32 seconds counting sheep starting now.
Mutton is a very good thing to count.
Stephen Fry challenge.
You could drive a small flock of sheep in that pause, I felt.
You need to rub it in.
Oh, sorry. I'm trying to be apropos.
It was a pause, sir, Steve, but you had the subject, 27 seconds, counting sheep, starting now.
I could actually quote exactly what Peter Jones said at the last round. It's an important thing to do, otherwise things get sticky and unpleasant, as he said of housekeeping. So I count sheep in order to get sleep, too, in order to prevent such an unpleasant...
And Peter Jones has challenged.
He's using my material.
That's the wicked thing about Just a Minute. You can use everybody's material as long as you don't repeat it in the round. So what is your challenge when the rules of Just a Minute?
Deviation.
Why? Because he was using your material.
Yes.
Right. Well, oh, I must be fair to Stephen on this occasion, but we did.
Bonus point.
You're going to be right.
No, we give you a bonus point because we enjoy the challenge, Peter. And Stephen has got 17 seconds counting sheep, starting now.
Very difficult thing to do, of course, because they look so similar. It's very hard to carry on keeping the
Clement Boy challenge.
Very, 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 very.
Your challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was a hesitation, yes.
I repeated very as well.
I know, but that was after you pressed
his buzzer. I want that to be taken into consideration when you finish.
I can't give him 2 points.
Oh.
1 point for 12 seconds available counting sheep, Clement, starting now.
Counting sheep makes it essential to appreciate the colour of the animal in question. Blue, green, yellow, red.
Stephen, challenge.
I think I'll allow him to make a list once, but another list, I think, is just too naughty.
Clement, no, if he lists, it's not a sin within the rules of Just a Minute. So you weren't deviating, Clement, and you have 2 seconds to keep going on counting sheep, starting now.
Counting the sheep on the far side.
Clement Boy presents speaking as the whistle went. Gained that extra point for doing so, and I said earlier on this is to be the last round. Let me just tell you the final situation. Peter Jones, who did magnificently as usual, he did just finish in fourth place. He wasn't far behind Paul Merton, but 3 points ahead of Paul, equal in the lead, were Clement Freud and Stephen Fry. So we say, this week, they are our winners.